are selected by our pianist, Naomi Hostep, and that was right down the line on Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, on which we're going to preach this morning. Now, we have never done this before in a morning meeting, but I guess it's okay because it's the Word of God. My brother, George Jordan, is not here this morning. His wife has considerable problems. And so I've asked three of our brethren to read various portions of the Word of God. They're going to come now and read just consecutively. And as they read the Word of God, I invite you to stand to your feet in the presence of the Lord in the reading of His precious Word. The three brethren who are coming are Dr. David Yanga, and number two is, Ben Carnes. And third is our brother Scott Coaster. Yeah, okay. You fellas come, please. Thank you. When they finish reading the Word of God, our brother Pastor Matt Postiff will lead us in prayer. We can sit down after the reading of the Word. Thank you.
If you'd like to stand with me and turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. The verse reads, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, similar to the song we just were singing. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Turn to Acts 20:33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the beginning of the world. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Let's turn to Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Next, let's turn to Philippians 3:21. Who shall charge our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Finally, let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
You may be seated, please. Thank you. He is able.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing with great joy that little chorus that the children sing, that He is able, that He is able to do all things well. And we refer to you because Our God, you are omnipotent. You are all-powerful. You lack no resource and lack not the will in order to do the things that you have promised that you will do. And so, our God, we praise you for this. We know that when we compare ourselves to thee, we often find ourselves falling short of those kinds of things. We say things we cannot do. We have not the power to carry things out the way we wish. But Lord, we thank you that that's never a problem with thee. Our Lord, we thank you that it is true that when you begin a good work in us, you will bring it to completion. That you will not let any of your saints, true saints of God, children of God and sons of God, perish or ever leave thee because of your power and because of the very nature of the regenerating work that you work in our hearts and the fact that it's a gift and the very explicit promises of Scripture that those that are in the hand of Christ and in turn of God Himself will never perish, and no man can pluck them out of your hand. Oh God, we thank you for this. We thank you for that word that teaches us that you have the ability to save, you have the ability to keep, you have the ability to save to the very end. And Lord, we thank you also that we were able to learn a new hymn this morning that taught us of this truth and helped us to sing it to thee in your praise. Now this morning, Lord, we turn to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for many things, of which we will give a selection just now. We want to pray for each other, Father, for the burdens of heart, for the burdens of the physical body, for emotional and spiritual difficulties that each are facing. Lord, from the very front to the back of this room and upstairs in the hallway, people, there are people. And Lord, each one has their different trying circumstances, and we pray, O God, that through them you will demonstrate to them the truth that when you bring those situations into their lives, it's not to tempt them, but it is to test and to prove and to improve their faith. Lord, for each one of us, we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for those of us that are still or that are in some state of grief over the loss of a loved one, perhaps, or a friend. We thank you for the fact that the Scriptures tell us you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This morning, Lord, we also want to pray not only for those that are not well among us or that have various difficulties, but Lord, for those that are not believers, perhaps there are some in this room under the sound of these words, and there are some that are in our acquaintance at our workplaces or wherever we may go that don't know the saving grace of God as we speak of it. These words would be of as much as a foreign language to them as any other language. And we pray that, Lord, you will give them a spiritual ears to hear, implant them in their hearts, we pray, and cause them to be able to understand the things of God, which are only available through the Spirit of God. Now, Lord, we pray for the national scene as well. We think of the fight about the nominee for the Supreme Court. We pray, Lord, that if this man is the one, that you will set him there, and that he, along with some of the others of our type, will be able to reverse some decisions that have been very detrimental to our society. Lord, we pray against the proliferation of all kinds of perverted lifestyles, of irresponsible living, of the attempts that people make in sinful ways to get out of their irresponsibility and avoid the consequences. We trust, Lord, that you will do a work even in our day, that, Lord, we might have a pocket of revival in this time and this place, while we know that the general trend is downhill and things are going from bad to worse. We pray for a refreshing season where you will bring people in in numbers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will save their souls truly from sin and not save them from just as some churches teach, some surface profession, salvation from some habit or something like that, some moral reformation, but Lord, that there'd be a true transformation in the lives of these people. We think of those days of old when people like Edwards write to us down through the ages that there were great seasons of revival for many years, and it was a great surprise that when they preached the same things that they always preached, that people began to listen and hear. And we pray, Lord, that the seed that's being planted today will bear fruit tomorrow, or even today, soon. God, we commit that need to Thee and that desire of our hearts to see Your hand move. We pray for our troops, Lord. We pray for our government officials who are directing their activities. We pray, Lord, for all the natural disasters that have been and are happening around this world with earthquakes and volcanoes and floods and all manner of bad weather. And Lord, we just pray for the folks that are impacted by that, for those just recently, the last few days, that have been disturbed by tornadoes. And Lord, we sit in all comfort here, and we thank You for that. And we pray for these folks that have lost in this world, in this world's goods, and all of the things that they have, and are in great difficult straits. Lord, we pray for the preaching of the Word this morning. We pray for Pastor as he explains verse 25 of chapter 7, that You give him, though he has told us before that neither he nor many of us would be able to be classed among those with the tongue of gold, but You would give him that, Lord. Speak through him by Your Spirit and cause him to be able to say just the words that will be used of the Spirit of God to cut away those things that are unpleasing in our lives and bring us to conformity to the image of our dear Savior. Lord, we beseech Thee. We ask Thee, Lord, because if You don't work in the service, nothing will be of value. And God, we beseech Thee so that we will not be found doing something that's useless. We pray these things for the glory of our Savior and with thanksgiving.
We're very pleased this morning to have a number of visitors with us from times which we knew before and others who are just brand new. So we got to take notice of them just now by the grace of the Lord. On this side, we have some dear friends who called to the church when they were still in Indiana. I guess we all remember Indiana yesterday. But in any case, he wants to forget that. But would you stand, Brother Gross, and introduce yourself and your wife and the two children, please? Thank you. Would you tell us what you're doing in town, please? Thank you so much for coming, brother. And just pray that the Lord may direct them to the church of the Lord's choice for them, so that they can settle down and be fed the Word of God whilst they're in this community. Thank you, brother. Now on this side, let's see. I know everybody in that row, but the second row is some of them are brand new. Bill, why don't you take the lead and introduce that family, please.
This is my wife's sister, Martha, and Martha Kleindienst, and her husband, Larry, and Grace, and Joe, and Sam.
Yeah. Yes. Would you folks just stand up so they can all see you? Thank you very kindly. Amen. Lovely to have you. Thank you. I haven't seen Martha in about 55 years. Thank you very much. Yeah. of it to have you. And then we have, I was only going to say that infamous person, David, because we have a David, and the David in the Bible is such a hot guy. But at any rate, David Reese is with us this morning. Would you stand, David, please? Thank you very much. Nice to have you. You know his parents, they've been coming here for a few weeks. We thank the Lord for that. I think everybody else on that side is well known. Thank you very much. All right. We're changing the order of service this morning. There will not be a musical ministry at this time. Rather, we're going to have it at the end of the service. And Naomi Postev is going to take care of that for us in a very special way. In the meantime, I'm asking Ann to come, please, and play for us during the offering. If you have some of the Lord's money that you want to give to the ministry here, this is your opportunity to give as unto the Lord. And once we have received the offerings, then we'll stand and sing the doxology. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, brother. Shall we stand, please, to sing? our brother Duane Reed please to lead us in the prayer of thanksgiving for God's provision.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give thanks to Thee, Lord, for being here today. The opportunity that we have, Lord, to read Your Word, study, and be amongst God's people. Lord, we pray that these funds that we give, as You called us to give, with cheerful hearts, Lord, and that You may lead us as to how these funds are to be used, Lord, for the Word, Lord, to go out to the community and to the world. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very kindly. You may be seated. Before we sing the next hymn, I'd just like to say that today is the day of reckoning for the scripture memory. And I was frightened to come to church without having said mine, so long as they were there. So I said mine to my good wife this morning, and she said I made one mistake. So, but I'm allowed two, I think, for every lesson, and I said two lessons. So I don't want to try to demonstrate my inefficiency in front of you, but I trust that you will get the person who's saying, who's listening to you today now, and make it plain to them that you have made your obligation secure. Okay. I also would like to say that this afternoon we'll be having our Timothy training again. We have it twice a month, and we are speaking about the will of God for one's life. We have two wonderful lessons this afternoon on that. And then we're also discussing the problems of the new evangelicalism. It's not dead, my friend, and I need to call this to your attention. So we'll be talking about this afternoon at 4:15, two 40-minute sessions, and then a little break for some coffee, and then we continue until 5:45. Tonight, our brother, Pastor Matt Poster, will be preaching from 2 Corinthians. I urge you to come. He's been giving some excellent messages from the Word of God. And if you don't come, you miss out. That's all I can say. That there is something waiting for you if you want some good food for your soul. I think those are all the announcements. We'll have the children go out so that we can have a quiet time to study the Word of God, and that they will be taught on their level. And I thank the Lord for those who participate. Are you going today? All right. This is the ambidextrous Bill Smith. Yeah. So we just thank the Lord for his help and what is available. And there is a nursery upstairs if you need that, so that we provide all that not to offend you, but to help you so that we can have a quiet time in studying the Word of God here in this place. And we thank the Lord for those who are faithful in keeping the children upstairs. Thank you very kindly. Let's stand and sing. What number is it, brother? You don't know. You didn't bring it up. Well, we've got a choice.
273.
All right. Pastor Matt has chosen for us. Number 273, please. Fill my cup, Lord. Thank you.
Say.
That you join me in saying praise the Lord for those who faithfully try to teach our children upstairs and care in the nursery, because it's not an easy task at times, but we praise the Lord that they are able to do that and willing to do it. It's not a forced issue with them. They do it because they want to serve the Lord. I have two further announcements this morning. I want to thank the Lord that my sister Jean is in the congregation again this morning. It's good to see her. She was away from us for several weeks, and we praise the Lord that she is able to be with us. So we thank the Lord for our sister. There are people sitting here with you this morning who are not well, but they struggle and do what they can to get here. And I noticed that Bill this morning with his wife, he was trying to get out of his chair, and he almost fell back, but praise the Lord, the chair was there. Did you thank the Lord that you could stand in your feet? I tell you, there's a most wonderful way that God provides for some of us, which other people do not have. And we thank the Lord for this. I want to bring your attention also to my friend, Dr. George Linhart, for whom I asked for prayer. He came to speak for us some years ago, and after speaking last Monday to a group of people in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, he went back to his cart and collapsed. And people thought that he was gone. Well, he was, I guess. CPR was administered to his body. The nurses came quickly, and the 9/11 people responded. He's been at the Lancaster General Hospital for this past week. But a most amazing thing has taken place. He's come out of his coma, he's talking, and he's moving, and it's just a real answer to prayer. I spoke with his brother Norman, and Norman said, it's just a real miracle of the Lord that he's alive. So I just want to thank the Lord for the way he answers prayer. Sometimes we think my prayers go up to the sky and or off the ceiling and come bouncing back at me. But God does answer prayer, my beloved brother and sister. And as we seek his face in a humble way and are willing to be contrite before the holy God, the Lord does do some things which are just phenomenal. We just thank the Lord for this. I spoke with Mrs. Jewel Gray yesterday. Her husband was a very bright man, a preacher, and a man who was faithfully serving the Lord, and he's gone off in the same way that our dear sister Mary Pine with Alzheimer's. And but she said to me yesterday, she said, you know, I could still hold his head. And she cried like I cried. And she said, but so I just thank the Lord for Stuart. He's been the only husband I ever had. And but he's been so kind to me. And she said, this is the least I could do for him now. They are in a very nice facility, and so she's still having him stay with her in the independent living so long as she possibly can. But I'd appreciate prayers for the Gray family. They were great friends of Dr. Linhart and been friends of us for years. Matter of fact, when we went overseas, we turned our children over to them so that if something happened to us, they would be the people who would be the caretakers. And so we've been very much involved with them over the years. I again say, you are living today in the way you are, with the breath in your nostrils and the capability to move your hands and arms and even to swallow and to digest food and all these wonderful things which we take for granted. Just be very grateful that God has been merciful to you to allow you to enjoy these things. Never forget them. They are the blessing of the Lord. And then I just want to just encourage you to pray one for another. There are many, many needs sitting around you today, and only the Lord is able to satisfy them. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, well, we do thank the Lord for those. There are many who can do that. Others have to go into places where other people care for them. And that's what happened with Dr. Linhart, for example. Yeah. So, yes, we can pray. Let's pause for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do thank for those who have been able to help one another. And we thank thee for those facilities, too, which have been made available to those like Ethel and Mary, where they can be cared for. We just rejoice in all the loving care which is given amongst the saints of the Lord. And for many who are not even saved, who do minister to our needs, we just thank thee and praise thee. Now guide us as we study thy word, Lord, and trust thee and believe thee for good things around thy precious word. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. If you have your Bible, will you please turn to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And last Lord's Day, we were dealing with verses 23 and 24. Just let me summarize very briefly these two verses. Verse number 23 says that the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, was not a perfect one because the priests lived and then they died. They lived and they died. And if you have the notes from last week, I listed the number of the high priests who lived and they died. There was no perpetuity. It was all temporary. It was an imperfect system that God had made arrangements for. This is as a great contrast with the wonderful priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His was a different tribe, not Levi. He was Judah, from which Melchizedek came, and our Lord was therefore a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he had a priesthood which never died. That's verse number 25. This man, because he continues forever, please remember that. There was no one to succeed the Lord Jesus or anyone to succeed in the order of Melchizedek. That's what made the big difference. And because of that, he has an unchangeable priesthood. There is no successor. There's no changing. Lots of changes in verse 23, but none in verse 24. Now I come to one of the most wonderful verses in our Bibles. I had these brethren read this morning verses that use the word he is able or he cannot be overcome. I think there was one misreading, but that's my poor writing. But in any case, it was all to say exactly what this verse says. Let me read this verse. I will say it many, many times, and we go into all the details we possibly can in this wonderful verse. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Now get the context. Last week I said there are choices to be made. We are all responsible individuals. We make choices. And I pointed out, for example, that Moses was better than Aaron. Moses is better than Miriam. People had to make choices. And I believe that what was said in verses 23 and 24, he's saying to these Jewish people to whom he's writing, you've got a choice to make. Do you want to follow the Levitical arrangement, or do you want to follow the Melchizedek arrangement? They were on the verge, some of them, to go back. Some of them to say, I'm not sure. Some of them said, we don't even know enough. Those three groups of Jewish people who are addressed in the book of Hebrews. And Paul argues again, make your choice. Make your choice. Be sure that your choice is right. I use the study that my brother James gave in our men's prayer meeting. We got this. He spoke about the book of James, as well as him being, well, he's not the Apostle James, but he's the Deacon James. And he pointed out to us that there's a difference between temptation and testing. And I suggested to you that temptation has to do with evil, whereas testing has to do with what God wants to prove in our lives, that we've got the real quality, the real stuff. We all go through testings. We also have temptations. And the temptation to do something evil or something which is not right is present with all of us because of the sin nature. That's what James 1 says. It doesn't come from God. Temptation doesn't come from him. But testing does come from God. He wants to prove whether you are the real stuff or not. And that's why I quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 13 last week. To test yourself, to prove yourself. That's dokimazo. But it also says, prove yourself, and that's the word pyrazo, which is the kind of a temptation which is good or evil. The test which is good or evil. But dokimazo is the verb which is used to show that you are the real stuff. And we can be thankful that the Lord gives us tests like that to say, are we real or are we just faking it? I don't mean to offend any of you here this morning, but I want to say to you again this morning, the quality and the reality of your faith determines on the fact that you test and come out on the other side, a proven person. That's what an examination is in a university. That's what it is at a seminary. That is what it is in the job. And you'll have evaluation periods checking you out. The Lord does the same. Check yourself out. Are you the real stuff or the best quality? Are you a person who's real for the Lord? This gets down to the quick of our lives and is very difficult. It's not good for us or easy for us to, I should say, it is good for us, but it's not easy for us to face up to the facts. Am I what I should be for the Lord's glory and praise? So we get these people to choose. And then he gives the 23, verse 24, now verse 25. The first word there, wherefore, on the basis of what I've said, I've got something more to say for you. What about this priest from the Melchizedek order? What about this Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you choose him? Why would you stick with him? Why would you stay to believe in him? Because, he says, he is able. He is able. That's the word dunamis, or dunamai, dunamai, from which we get dunamis. But dunamai, he is able. He is able. Keep saying that to yourself. He is able. He is able. I don't mean for you to go wacky about it, but it's a good thing to remind yourself about it. God is able. And this is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able. No question about it. But you notice the other word, also. He is able also to save. He's not only has the omnipotence and the power, but he does something with it. It's a very pragmatic statement. He's able, but he is ready to do something. And the word for save, by the way, is in the present tense. It's a present tense infinitive, which means continuity. He never gives up. Aren't you glad for that? We give up on one another. Oh, you don't on somebody else, but maybe I do. But the continuity of the saving power of our blessed Lord, he is able to keep on saving. That's why you must use notice my notes. It's a present tense, so it's continuity. It keeps on saving. He never stops. Our brother, when he prayed this morning, we're not in the kind of idea to change people's goals and objectives. This is not what we're in business. The business of the Bible is to change people, not to give them different goals. There's only one goal, that's to be saved through the precious blood of Christ, to be regenerated, not reformed, not to be changed into something different, but to be what God wants you to be. That's what it's all about. And I urge you to understand this. He is able, he's capable to save and to keep on saving. He never stops. Once he starts, he keeps going. And I think I gave you last week Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He starts, he keeps it going all the way to the end. What a wonderful thought that is. He starts with nothing. One of my verses, if I can remember it, was from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's what each one of us is. I'm undone. I got nothing. See? But he keeps on saving. He takes nothing and makes something of us by his infinite grace. He changes us. If you don't know the power of this, my dear brother, I want you to be introduced to this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, today. I've been reading emails from a man by the name of Fitzgerald, who's reporting for me what's going on in the Mengen tribe in Papua New Guinea. And for the first time in their lives, they are hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. And they're being told he can save them. And there was one young man by the name of Robert, and he came to know the Lord as his Savior during this study. And they gave a picture on the email of this boy. And he said, I'm so happy. I just can't get over the joy that God has given to me. I'm saved. Do you know what this is about, my friend? That's what the Lord is telling him. Wherefore he is able also to save. Keep on saving. Never stop. He never gives up on you. And he keeps the salvation activity going until he's finished with you. And he takes you all the way to glory. By the way, there's a wonderful verse that I did not put in the text, I don't think. But it's Romans chapter 8. Will you turn there for a minute, please? Romans chapter 8. There's so many wonderful texts in the Bible to support what we're talking about. Romans chapter 8. I really don't care what you are concerned about in this matter of predestination and foreknowledge and all that kind of stuff. It's important. But listen to this. Verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. When he foreknew you, he had one object in mind: to finish the job. Don't you like that? I like that. To finish the job, to see to it that he doesn't do a half job, he does it fully. I think my brother Matt will agree with me. I hope you do, brother. That when we went to seminary, we thought we knew so much when the first year. As a matter of fact, Dr. Walburn at Dallas Seminary was one of my professors, and I told him something he didn't know on the first exam. He wrote back to me on the paper, and he said, "I'd like to talk to you 4 years from now." Which was very good counsel, because I was trying to tell him he didn't know. I had studied under Dr. Thiessen at Wheaton, so I knew more than Walburn. What a crazy idea. But isn't it wonderful? When you get saved, you think you know everything. You got all the answers, and you soon find out you don't know too much. And the Lord works in your life and teaches you and tests you and gives you evaluations from time to time. He works with you. What a wonderful God he is. Don't you love him because of this? I do. I praise the Lord for that. And then it says here in verse number 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, moreover, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All the way to the end, to be glorified. What a wonderful thought. My brother, there is no one and no religion, no system anywhere that will do what that Bible says. Of course, you have to believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then you say, well, okay, that's what God's in the business of doing. Did you ever take your car to a garage? Did you ever have to take it back? Our son has got a Land Rover, and he told me this last week he was coming back from Lansing, and the car just collapsed on him. And the whole system that holds up the body on the wheels just decided to lie down for a while. And he said, it says on the speedometer, I must not go over 35 miles an hour. So I said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I've been telling you to get rid of that junk. But at any rate, he said, I'm going to take it back. So he took it back, way up to Troy. And he left it there. And they said they couldn't find anything wrong, but they did fix it. But they don't know for how long. Now, when the Lord starts to fix you, he says, listen, it might take a long time to get there, but just hang on. I'll keep on saving you. I'll get you there. I'll get you all the way to glory. I think this is marvelous. That's why we believe in this church in the security of the believer. The eternal security of the believer. Once you're saved, God never lets you go. He keeps going. That's a wonderful thought. Not that you do it. He does it. See, we got an omnipotent God. He is able also to save. Keep on saving. Praise his wonderful name. Now, go back there to the Hebrews passage. I want you to see it right there in the text. He's able to save to the uttermost. When I was a boy, I used to hear preachers say, the Lord saves from the guttermost to the uppermost. From the guttermost to the uppermost. Well, that sounded great, but it's not true. I mean, from this text. That's not what the text says. What it says is, say to the uttermost, he's able to bring it to completion, to the end, the bitter end. He will see it through. He will never give up. He never grows weary. He never has to go to sleep. He keeps on saving to the uttermost, all the way to the end. I praise the Lord for that. If you don't know what a real salvation is, check this out in this wonderful text. able to save to the uttermost, right to the end. Who? Those who come unto God by Him. You notice it's by Him. He's the intermediary. The goal is to get to God. There are many ways, my friend. Many ways to come to Christ. There's only one way to get to God. May I say that again? There are many ways to come to Christ. There's only one way to get to God. We used to have that idea, one way. And people hold up a finger, the index finger. One way. Still only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get to God. Many ways to come to Him, though. You might lose a job. You might get on a sick bed. You might have marital problems, all kinds of things, which would drive you. I got to come to somebody. I come to Christ. But that Christ then can take you to God. He's the only one who can draw you near to God. Seven times in the book of Hebrews, to draw nigh to God comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven times. There is no other way. It's not about who you are, what you own, what you don't own, your poverty or your riches, your good works or your bad works. It doesn't matter. There's only one way to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings you. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Do you know Him, my friend? Is He your Savior? Really? Genuinely? Now notice. And then it says seen, which suggests the idea. Don't you know how He can do all this? Because He always lives. He never dies. It says that. Look at it. For ever lives. He ever lives. In the previous verses, verse 23, the priest died. Melchizedek was alive forever. And this one, the Lord Jesus, He ever lives. I think that we need to listen to what was written in the bulletin this morning. We need to speak more about the resurrection of the Lord than the cross of Christ. We don't have a cross up here. Not that we don't believe in it. But what we need is an empty tomb. That's our big message. The tomb is empty. He ever lives. And His resurrection is accompanied by His ascension. And His ascension gives birth to His session. He lives. He's in session in glory. He's a living Savior. Praise His wonderful name. Do you know anything about this, friend? Do you know you have a priest who ever lives in the glory? And then it says He's interceding. He's talking on our behalf. He's praying for us. One of the most wonderful passages in your Bible is found in Luke's Gospel. May I take you there, please? Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. The book of Luke, chapter 22. And you read in verse 31, Luke 22, 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. I never read these two words like Simon, Simon, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses. But I remember Brother Paul Tidball. He gave a message one time. You remember that. And he spoke about the times where the names of some biblical character were doubled. Like here, Simon, Simon. You'd think that if he said Simon once was enough. But he said, call him twice. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But, oh, listen, brother, shout hallelujah for this one. I have prayed for you. Yeah, Satan wanted to get you, but I prayed for you. What a tremendous word that is. Incredible. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. I like that, don't you? He ever saves. And brother and sister, the Lord is praying for you right now. Claim it. not these claim it and make it and get rich kind of thing, but just claim it because it's there in the Bible. But I've prayed for you. If he prayed for Peter, surely he prayed for Raymond Sachs. He prayed for you. He ever lives to make intercession, to pray. What a terrific word that is. And you notice this. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is a hard one. Come on. It's very difficult. Because it suggests that the faith failed. But he says, I'm praying for you. But if your faith does fail, I want to tell you, you're going to be converted. You're going to be changed. And then you're going to minister to the brethren. You're going to be changed. Because I prayed for you. I was saying to some of the fellows this morning, when Rebecca, is that right? Yeah. I said, we prayed yesterday for some more people to come into the church. I said, Rebecca's here today. We prayed for that girl. And she came. All you people here this morning, I guarantee you, well, David, no, you're brand new on me. And Martha, I'd sort of forgotten about you, but but in our home, we pray for the congregation every day around the kitchen table. And for all the sick people that our sister has mentioned, we pray for them all. Mentioned by name. It takes a long time, but then, see, we don't have anything else to do. I'm a preacher. And I spend time and a lot of time in prayer. And my wife does her praying. And we rejoice in what God does in answer to prayer. It's marvelous. Don't you like this? But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. Be a strong man. That's a great word. God's never through with people if they give him a chance. But there's a choice. There's a choice. What do you do? Do you do it God's way or your own way? See, that's all. I chose to become the pastor of Fellowship Bible Church. I chose to be. And we met at 15 people to start with. That's all. But the Lord in His grace has brought a number of people along. You are here this morning because of His grace. But it's a choice. Do you want to live for the Lord? Do you want to glorify the Lord? It's your choice. He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to Him, to God, through Him. Why? Because He ever lives to make intercession for you. He ever lives. Now, I've said a lot about this verse, and I want to put something on the overhead so maybe to summarize some of this stuff for you. In my wonderful writing. What do you do at night when you sleep? Well, you say, I'm sleeping. Well, not for me. I'm thinking. And I wake up, and that's how I got my verses this morning. And so when I got out of bed, I said to my, I want to say my verses. They're fresh in my mind. I was going over those verses in the night. And there's some other things I do. Especially on Saturday nights, I got the sermons to come see. And so I was trying to figure out, how could I say to the people tomorrow, the best way I know how, so they will learn. By the way, Lem, where are you? Freddie. I pulled my car up next to Freddie this morning. You saw me. So you better help me out. Because I said to Freddie, why don't you stay here? So Freddie says, no, I'm going to my own church. I said, why don't you stay here? Well, I got another church. I said, okay. But I said, Freddie, I'm going to say something. I'm saying this to Lem quietly, please. I said, listen, you talk to Lem after the morning service. And you tell him what you learned. And he's going to tell you what he learned. See, you come to church to learn something. You do not come here to just say, ho-hum.
hurry up, Pastor, I'm tired, I'm hungry. No, you're not here for that. You're just to learn something. So then, you better put it all down on paper and tell them all that we went through and bring in the notes and say, that's what the preacher preached on. But I want you to put this down too, because this is very interesting. There are basically three items that are mentioned in this verse. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that goes this way. I just put it all out in front of your face. Hebrews 7:25 is talking about salvation. I don't know which side to say. Here we are. But the salvation, remember, is a present tense. So it's continuous action. It never stops. And we have for years been preaching this kind of thing. And those who have the system of theology which we have in this church will say this to you in one way or another. We have been, we have here the penalty of sin, which is past. We have the power of sin, which is present. We have the presence of sin, which is for the future. But salvation includes all of that. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. He saves us from the presence of sin. He takes us all the way, uttermost, all the way. He never gives up, my friend. When somebody says, listen, I am saved, praise the Lord. You can also say, I'm being saved. And you can also say, I will be saved. H.C.G. Moole actually said that on the street with a Salvation Army girl. He tells that story in one of his books on Romans. And he said, this girl said to me, are you saved? He said, well, I'm being saved. No, she said, are you saved? He says, I will be. He got her all confused. But that's what salvation is, see. We are saved from the penalty of sin through the blood of Christ. We are saved from the power of sin. Come on, you cannot say, well, that's what everybody does, so. No, so what? If you're saved from the power of sin, you're not under the bondage of the sin nature. And then you're saved from the presence of sin. You'll be taken away. None of us is perfect, my friend. Now, we will be when we see Him. I had a financial man come to my house this last week. And he was showing me what's happening in the market. This man used to be on WMUC. His name is Peter Marsh. You might have heard of him many years ago. He called me and said, I want to come and see you. I said, okay, come on and see me. And he was telling me what I could do with all my millions. But it was interesting. He drew a line like this. And he said, the market goes up and down. And if you can stick it out, it'll keep going. Now it might go down, but it'll come back. Now you can lock in if you want in a certain place. But you better be sure it's high. Don't lock in when it's going down in here. So I said, may I have your paper for a minute? And I wrote for him across this thing going like this. That's sanctification. That's the way it happened. That's the way God's working with us. And I took him to the bottom place and I said, now go right to the top. And that's where we are positionally 100% for the Lord. And then I drew a line over here where he had at the top of the line. I said, that's the ultimate. So we have positional sanctification. We have experiential sanctification. And we have ultimate. Same as this. Past, present, future. The Lord saves. Once He saves, He's saved. That's all. And He'll take it all the way to the end. Bring you all the way to glory. Hallelujah. Sorry for being a Methodist this morning, but that's okay. We need to be grateful. The other item is this intercession. This has to do with righteousness This has to do with prayer. But please notice this. The intercession, he prevents. This is the Luke chapter 22 passage. He seeks to prevent you from folding up, from doing things that you shouldn't do. When he prevents you, when you know he's praying for you. I had a mother who prayed for me on a regular basis. And when she went to glory, I lost a real prayer warrior. But there's one who never folds up in prayer. That's the Lord Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. He always lives to pray. And he wants to prevent, surely, listen, whatever temptation you might have. This girl over here from South Africa had a temptation this last week. And I happened to be at that point where she was going to do something. And I suggested, I think you ought to take a different course. And she did. And I couldn't believe my eyes. On Wednesday night, she was out there raking the leaves. I think she was being provoked to do something. But I happened to be at that point in her life. And I could say to her, I think it would be wiser to take this move. And give the Lord the chance in your life for tonight for the prayer meeting. And she did. I personally believe that, I can't prove it, but he was praying for that girl. That she'd do the right thing. Do you ever stop and think about all the choices in your life that you have that the Lord is praying for you? You ask people to pray, don't you? Goodness, I get lots of people saying to me, will you pray for me? Pray for me. Pray for my mom. Our sister said, pray for these caregivers. Pray for this. Pray for that. Keep on praying. I got a real nice email from Michelle's father this last week. He thanked us, those of us who were able to go to her piano recital. That was nice. And I wrote back to him. I said, we pray for you all the time. But more than what we can do, my dear brother and sister, the Lord does. He prays. And what's it for? To stop us from doing stuff that we shouldn't do. Praise the Lord. But what if you do get in trouble? I got to be careful because we got a judge in the community here. The prosecution. The prosecuting attorney comes to our aid. He represents the government of glory. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stands and defends our case. Did you ever do something wrong? Oh, no, you didn't. But I have. Did you ever do something that displeased the Lord? Yeah. Well, what happens when you do that? The Lord comes to your aid. If you confess your sin, if you confess the wrong, then he says, he's able and just to forgive you. And he stands there and advocates for you. He stands that way. He pleads his blood. He says, yeah, this guy Sachs is my child. He boo-booed it. He messed it into the light. But he's my child. And he pleads the blood. He's faithful and just to forgive on the basis of confession. Confession is for a believer. It is not for an unbeliever. A non-believer is believe. Believe and get saved. But once you're saved, now you get in a problem. Confess your sin. It's not the escape valve, but it's the heart that says, Lord, I thank you for loving me, for keeping me, for saving me, for doing all this for me. I'm sorry. And you confess that to the Lord. And he forgives. The prosecuting attorney. This is sin to be prevented. This is sin which is committed. And when it's committed, he takes care of it. I don't know, my friend, why these Jewish people wouldn't say right away, goodness, you've argued me into the case. There's nobody like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no system. There's no person. There's nothing but just the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've asked my dear sister to sing for us today something that will be, I hope, very meaningful to you. And you will say, yes, I do have a wonderful Savior. I do not want to disappoint Him or do something which would be dishonoring to Him. I want to do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And that's the point of this. Would you sing for me, please? And we're just going to sit and listen. And when it's over, then I will give you an opportunity to confess the Lord as your Savior if you've never done it before. Or if there's something in your life you want to make right before the Lord, we ask you to come to the front and do it as unto the Lord. We just want to be helped here, that's all. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We're here to help you. For those of us who are married, we took a public stand. And I believe that we need to take a public stand for the Lord. If we aren't where we ought to be, we have to say, Lord, I miscued, but I thank you that you prayed for me and you made it possible for me to be restored. You listen as our sister sings, please.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. I can go directly to the Lord in prayer. He has told me I may boldly enter there. And He listens as His promises I plead. I find mercy there and grace for every need. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And the hope of heaven's glory thrills me so, where I'll live with Christ forevermore, I know. That is why the things of earth I loosely hold, I'm eternal rich and better for the gold. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified,
my eyes are closed as well. I just want to ask you, friend, are you saved? Like we've been speaking from Hebrews 7:25. Is it wonderful to be a Christian? To know what it means to be justified and reconciled? Do you know what it means? If you don't, make the decision right now to believe on the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. We'd like to help you. We'd like for you to make it public if that's your desire. But we just are so burdened that this service will not just be going through the forms, but that something will change in your life and mine. If you're a believer and things have got out of sorts and you're not right with Him and right with God's people, you want to get that straight, you can do that too. Because He advocates, He intercedes, He saves. What a wonderful Savior. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Can you say that from your heart? If we can help you, please don't hesitate to contact us after the service or by telephone. We'll be waiting to hear from you. You didn't come here by chance. You came here because God sent you. Now, dear friend, deal with the Lord and do it right. Make your choice. You're being tested, not tempted. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You today for the privilege to share the Word of God in this assembly, for the first hymn we sang and then the other hymns we sang, for the reading of the Word of God, for the prayers that were offered, for our giving unto the Lord, for everything, Lord. It was a wonderful privilege to be here today. And we just pray, Lord, that not one will go away from this place and say, well, I didn't learn something, or God didn't speak to my heart. Heavenly Father, do not allow this ministry this morning to fall on deaf ears or a life that is not responsive. Gracious Lord, hear our prayer. And we'll thank Thee and praise Thee. Thank You for Naomi singing so beautifully for us to remind us it's wonderful to be a Christian. Praise is wonderful. Okay. Sing one more verse for you, will you, sister?
Life has purpose now which never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain it mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
May the blessing of the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be our portion, those of us who know the Lord, and in our experience, Lord, until we see the Lord Jesus in all His glory, in all His fullness, in all His beauty, there in the glory. For some of us, some of our friends here today, Lord, whom we do not know what their position is with the Lord, if there's somebody here, Lord, who's not saved, not right with God, please, Lord,
save him, and give him the righteousness of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant to us, who love thee, Lord, a life of restfulness and peace and quietness, because we're right with God and his people. Hear us in our prayer and listen to this prayer. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.